Hello, brothers and sisters, the family of God. It's good to be able to finally get I've been having issues recording my sermons, and my phone's down right now, the voice recorder, and then my computer wouldn't let me. I finally got me my wife bought me an iPod for my I think Christmas. I finally got it operational and allowed me to record this message. The devil is working pretty hard and trying to destroy this ministry, and that just tells me I'm doing something right. That somebody's out there, if it's just one person listening to it, is touching their heart, is making a change in their heart, and you never really know what's going on. And that one person could go out there and preach to 20 or 40 or 50, because just a word that God has given me to broadcast on my website. That's all that matters. I know God wants me to do it, so I do it. I don't look for anything other than for His will to be done. We've been looking at the Lord's Prayer. Well, we call it the Lord's Prayer. It's most commonly called the Lord's Prayer. I like more of it's a disciples' prayer. You'll hear the model prayer. And we're going over this very slowly and kind of just reflecting on it, because it's very important for us to understand when we place ourselves in front of Holy God, how we should approach it, and how we should lay our heart out to Him. And the disciples, they had this same thing going on. They wanted to know how to pray like Jesus prayed. And that's why I always call it disciples' prayer, because disciples wanted to pray like Jesus. So we'll start out with a prayer, and then I'll do a recap so far. Heavenly Father, we come to You, Lord, thanking You for everything You've done for us this week. Thank You for providing opportunity for me to preach the message that You laid on my heart to preach, Lord, regardless the feeble attacks of our enemy, Satan, on me and my ministry that You have laid in my heart to preach. I rebuke the Satan. I rebuke the devil and his demonic forces on my life. And I pray, Lord, this message, whoever is out there that needs to hear it, I pray, Lord, that it just enters their heart, it enters their mind, and it just changes that person to the person that You need them to be able to spread that word of God to whoever that may hear it, Lord. I pray, Lord, that this coronavirus is going around, Lord. You know what's going on with it, Lord. We just lift it. We lift this virus up to You, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that wherever Your purpose is, that it be done. Thy will be done. I pray over this nation, Lord. This anti-Godness that is spread like a virus. Like the coronavirus, but it's been spreading ever since the Garden of Eden. And now it's worse, that people are pulling away from God, the true holy God. They're professing a God that is not of the Bible. A God of convenience. A God of selfishness. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You bring in true believers, true Christians, that will rise and that will stand on the Word of God and proclaim in these last days to repent of our wicked ways. For time is at hand, and that Jesus is coming back soon, and many will be lost, and many will go to hell because they don't want to turn from their wicked ways. They want to profess a Christian that is a Christianity of this world that is of Satan. Lord, I pray for our nation. pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. The disciples' prayer. You can see it in Matthew 6. And we started at 9. And we were able to work ourselves now till 10. But our recap on this is 9 verse 9 tells us, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Meaning when we approach Jesus, we need to recognize that he's our Father and that he's holy. And there's more detailed explanation, because this is a series sermon. This is the third part of the sermon. You can go back to my website and you can trace it back up. I have it part 1, part 2, and this will be part 3. And we'll see how far we get today. And then verse 10 tells us, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Meaning, regardless of what we're going through in this life, that our kingdom is not of this world. This is Satan's kingdom. You know, when we look at this world, we're not part of it. Jesus tells us in his scriptures that we're living in this world, but we're not of this world. This is Satan's world. When we start blending in and we start compromising who we are, we're worshiping the kingdom of this earth, which is Satan's. When you're a child of God, you have the kingdom of God first, when you're saved, you have that kingdom in your heart, meaning you have that hope of a better place coming that Jesus is going to bring when he comes back one day. I believe it's real soon. But we can carry a piece of that in our heart, regardless of what we're going through, this hell that we're going through in this life. This hell that we're going through in this life, that's as close as hell we will receive in this lifetime. Because our kingdom is not of this world, it is of God. And one day we will live forever in a place with no more pain, with no more sorrow, with no more tears. And that's what he's telling us here. Thy kingdom come. We should always be looking for his kingdom come. We should pray, Jesus, come back soon. And thy will be done on earth, meaning as in heaven, meaning you're in control. I give it to you completely and utterly. Thy will be done. Amen. The other part here that we haven't talked about yet is verse 11. It tells us, give us this day our daily bread. You know, I was thinking about daily bread, and as I love to eat. And I can remember those old-fashioned Sunday morning eatings after service. And and some churches still do it. And you have all that good food. You have that fried chicken, that fried chicken dumplings, hamburgers, you know, all the trimmings. And if it's cold, you got good chili or good gumbo, apple pie, cheesecakes. You know, all this good food, right? And when you look at it, you're like, well, where did all this food come from? Just looking at the chicken, the fried chicken and chicken dumplings, the chicken. You might say, well, I went to Walmart, my hard-earned money, and got home, you know, I made, you know, cooked it all up, mixed it all together, and had, you know. But I want you to pause for a second, think about it. You see, that chicken once was a chick. But how did that chick grow? Well, the chick had to have feed. If you look at feed, most of the feed has grains. But where does that grain come from? The ground, where does the water come from to make that grain grow? From the sky, right? And the sunlight has a shine, which it has to make that grain grow. And you have to have that grain. And when that grain grows, you put it in the feed and you feed the chick, and the chick turns into chicken. And then you have chicken and dumplings and fried chicken. You see, God provides the right amount of water and sunlight for growth. You may say, well, I have water at the house. Yeah, but I want to tell you, most all cities and town water department depends on rain that falls. If we're going through an extreme drought, you will see the effect of food. And on the reverse side of that, if you see excess amount of rain, you will see it will affect the food. God gives the right amount of sunlight. He gives the right amount of rain. That's amazing, right? God provides all of that. And when we're sitting there, and that's why we should always give thanks or blessing when we're sitting and eating, because God has provided that for us. Because think about it. If you don't have food, you don't get much energy. If you don't have much energy, you can't go to work. If you can't go to work, you can't make a paycheck. If you can't make a paycheck, you can't go to Walmart or wherever grocery store you shop at and buy food. It all works together, right? If you want to just, this is the provision that God provides us. But it goes deeper than food on the table. John 6, 32 through 40. Jesus says, "Very, very, I say unto you, Moses gave you that bread of heaven, but my Father give you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God, which came down from heaven, and give life unto the world." Then they say unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that come to me shall never hunger. He shall that believe on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you, ye shall that ye also see me and believe not. And all the Father give me shall come to me, and him that come to me I will no wise cast out, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which have given me I shall lose nothing, but I shall rise it up again in the last day. And this will of him that sent me, that everyone that sees the Son believes on him and may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last days." What is Jesus telling us? He said he is the bread of life. When we partake of the bread of life, when we partake of salvation, we become children of God. Now, I post several sermons on salvation. To me, that salvation is so simple, but is being not taught right. It's being taught partial truths. Of course, we look at John 3:16. God sent his Son, his only Son, to die for our sins, right? So we can have everlasting life. And that's paraphrasing, meaning we accept that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, and that's correct. And all that accept him will be saved. If you look at Romans 9, Romans 10, 9 through 10, I believe, it speaks, those that confess with their heart and their mouth, they'll be saved. And that's true. We have to recognize what God did. And we got to recognize when Jesus was given, he was to walk this earth and do his ministry. And he was to be crucified in the most horrible way, and we accept and believe and confess that crucifixion that happened on the cross because of sin in our life. Sin that we have to repent of. Today, you see a Christian, a professing Christian who wants to live in their sin, that believes it's okay to sin and get away with it. I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, it transforms your life. You become what we call regenerated. And that's what Paul speaks of. several times in Romans when he speaks of the old and the new. Meaning, we become new. You got too many professing Christians out there. They're living in the old. And they grabbing on to this modern Christianity. Which telling them, okay, it's okay to hold on to the old. You don't have to be changed. You don't have to be regenerated. You don't have to repent of your sin. I'm telling you, we have to repent of our sin. Once we are a child of God, the Holy Spirit comes into our life. It changes us. There's no change there. You are not a child of God. You are a child of Satan. And I am not going to be the one sugarcoating it, because your blood will not be on my hands, because you got these preachers out there that are ministers of Satan, proclaiming a false gospel that is contrary to the Bible. We believe in the resurrection. We believe that he was rose. He rose that third day, and Easter's coming around. He rose that third day. And the disciples seen him. And many others seen him. And he was with the disciples 40 days. And then he ascended to heaven. They were looking up at him as he ascended. And he said, "Why look? That Jesus is coming back soon." And he tells us in the Gospels that he's going to leave a comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, once we accept Jesus Christ, comes into our hearts. And when he's in our hearts, we are changed. We are changed. We are not living the same life that we're living before God enters our hearts. I'm scared, and my heart hurts for the many out there claiming to be something they're not, and there's no change in their life. I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm saying this because I love you and I care for you. Your heart has to be changed. The fruit of the Holy Spirit has to be manifest throughout your life. That is the discipleship. That is the love. That is the long-suffering. That is the goodness. That is the gentleness. That is the temperance. That's the meekness. That's the joy. That's the peace. That is the faith. This is progressive through your life, though, as a disciple. You have to become a disciple for Jesus. That's the part of it. Once you accept him into your heart truly, and you believe God sent his son and that he died for your sins because we couldn't do it, and that we need the Holy Spirit to correct us as we mess up. And when we mess up, the Holy Spirit will correct us, because he tells us he chastised those that he loves. And we become a disciple. Discipleship is not optional. It's not separate from salvation. It is part of salvation. You become a disciple of Jesus. You're enrolled into this spiritual war, like you're not. You are enrolled. You are a soldier. You've been enlisted in the army of God. Now you must pick up your cross, and you must deny yourself daily. You have to follow him daily. And when you don't, the Holy Spirit will correct you. If you're not following him daily and the Holy Spirit's not correcting you, you're not a child of God. You are a child of Satan. Period. When we get our minds right and we hallow his name and we recognize his will be done, and we recognize that he provides our daily need, and that he also, we're a child of God, because he provides us with everlasting life when we pass away. And when we pray like this, it's not part of that prosperity gospel. It's not like a Jesus is a genie that you can rub the bottle. When your mind is, you're following these steps in your mind, and you're letting the Holy Spirit guide and direct you, you will not pray astray. You have these prosperity gospel preachers out there that are proclaiming a false gospel, and the church is growing. But I want to tell you, we will, as the last days get here, we will see viruses like the coronavirus. They will separate people, the true people of God, from the professing Christians. I've been reading churches are closing their doors. This is not the time to close your doors. Open them doors wide open. Proclaim the gospel of Jesus. And let his will be done. But they won't tell you, oh, give us your money. If you give us your money, well, you can have that new house, that car, that truck, that boat. Give it to us. We'll give you all these material things. God wants you to have all that. Yes, God may want you to have material things in this life, but you must return and give it to God in a sense that you can give it up if you have to. I don't tell you many professing Christians like, oh yes, I can give it up. But then they're like, I don't want to go to church because of coronavirus. Satan has blinded you. Satan has confused you. You have allowed him to do that. If you don't correct your mind by really submitting to Jesus and truly giving your heart to Jesus, you will go to hell. You will burn forever and ever. It's sad. It's sad the way this world is, especially in America and the American churches. The remnant of once be the foundation that made this nation great is crumbling. Harlots, false prophets, false teachers, false preachers. And the list goes on and on. I could name them. Joel Osteen being I'll mention Joel Osteen because he's the number one biggest church in America. And they're giving him his money while people like me are struggling. And that's okay because God tells us in the last days it will be like that. People like me, they will not want to sponsor. They will not want to help because they don't want to hear the truth of the gospel. They rather hear Joel Osteen tell them a lie. And they'll live this lie until the day they die. And when they die, they're going to hell. Wake up, America. Wake up, America Church. The end time is near. We have to turn away from these false prophets, these false teachers like Joel Osteen. And the list goes on and on the false. You got the Steve Furtick. False! Tony Evans. False! It keeps on going on and on. You know, it hurts my heart to preach this hard, but it's needed. As we move on to the next verse, that is verse 12. It tells us here, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know, forgiveness, I know I've struggled with this in my life. You know, the hate, the anger I have toward my family, my mom and dad. The drinking that almost killed me. Hate and anger just gets into your veins, into your heart. It infects your whole body. And I was brought to some very dark places. I thought of the abuse of my childhood, you know, and that led me to the bottle to try to drown my pain and my sorrows from childhood and the... And I was just drowning in a lake of darkness. Reaching for the pleasure of this world to heal my wounds. Brothers and sisters, I had an issue with forgiveness. But when I came back to God, I had to deal with all this anger and this hate. It was not me by myself. It was Jesus that gave me the strength to keep pressing on. You see, God understands the pain and sorrow. That's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come down here on the earth and live among us. And to show us the model to us what we need to do as Christians on this earth. And while we're here. And we have to forgive those that hurt us. See, God created this world, and it was good. And he created the first man, Adam, and he was good. And he created Eve, and Adam and Eve, they were living in paradise. And but Eve, one day, she's having a moment, and God commanded him not for her not to eat of one tree. That's the tree of knowledge, good and evil. But, you know, Satan, he's seen the opportunity. Eve allows Satan to deceive her, and then she deceived Adam by eating the forbidden fruit of that tree. And the sin entered the world, and the curse entered this world. Every person is under this curse. It's our fault, not God's fault. That's why he sent Jesus to die for our sins. He had to suffer greatly. Jesus is the example. Even when he was on that cross, and they were killing him, they flogged him, scourged him, beat him, hung him on that cross. He was bleeding out in pain. And he looked over his accusers. He said, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, that just, that rips my heart apart just thinking of it. I couldn't have done that. I would have cursed them. I would have wished every one of them to burn in hell. But see, Jesus didn't do that. He said, forgive them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, Jesus came to die for our sins, to forgive us. It was a chance, an opportunity for him to, where we can go right where we're at and say, Jesus, here I am. If we look at Romans 5, 8 through 11. But God command his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the earth, by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And of course, it goes on. It talks about sin. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed all men, for that have sinned. We will, if God doesn't come back soon, which I believe he will be coming back sooner than we really don't really grasp that he's coming back soon for us. We will have a physical death. But the thing is, when we die, if you're a child of God, you will not have a spiritual death. Meaning, you will only die once. Meaning, when you die and you're a child of God, you go to heaven. You spiritually will live with Jesus. If you're not, you will suffer two deaths. That's the physical death, and that's the spiritual death. And the spiritual death is not everlasting death. Everlasting life is everlasting damnation, and you will go to hell because you've denied him over and over. You pretend to be something you're not. In the end, you're just hurting yourself. You're not hurting me. I know where I'm going, and I know the message Jesus has placed in my heart to proclaim it out to this world. You're hurting yourself. But forgiveness. We should forgive because Jesus forgave even his accusers after they killed him. They beat him. They scourged him. As a child of God, we need to recognize that forgiveness. And there may be people that have hurt you in your life. You got to let it go. You got to get on that phone tonight, if you already have it, and say, I'm a child of God. Jesus, forgive me. He forgives me for crucifying him on that cross because of the sin. We're all standing guilty be a holy God, every one of us, until and we lay our hearts out there and we say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I nailed you to that cross. Every nail that you felt was for me because you loved me. And you forgive me. And you save me from hell. I can lease those that ever hurt me in my life to tell them I forgive them for what they did. We have to forgive. That is part of it. As a child of God, to not forgive will create interference, like sin creates interference. Unforgiveness will create interference. You will not have that fellowship with Jesus. Your prayers will not be as effective. We have to get rid of that unforgiveness, like sin. We have to initially, at the beginning of our prayer, recognize we're the holy God and that we have to get our sin out there. If we're not, sin creates interference. And I talk about that in my sermon part one in this series. But unforgiveness also creates interference. It affects our effectiveness in praying to Jesus. You got unconfessed, unrepented sin in your life? Yeah, you can pray. As a child of God, you'll be under stream chastisement, to the point of death. You won't be able to live with yourself. It creates interference. And unforgiveness creates interference. Well, this is a good stopping point. We'll stop there on this verse, which is, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, as we forgive our debtors. We'll stop there and we'll pick up next week, Lord willing, on the leave us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we will try to finish King Pinkton Promises. We'll try to finish this up. But in closing, I just want to say, guys, these two parts. We recognize that God provides everything for us, from the food that's on our table to the energy to going to work, to show glory in God. And that we should forgive. Forgiveness should be first nature. We should be a forgiving people. I say forgiving, I ain't saying compromising. It's a big difference. We should forgive, and we should pray that God's will be done in every situation that we encounter. You forgive that person, and then you place that person on your prayer list and you pray for them daily. That God, they may be lost. God, do what you have to do to bring them to you. Don't let their soul be lost. You start praying like that. You start investing time in that person. Your mind gets shifted. And you start hurting for that person. You want to see them come to Jesus. Prayer. Powerful. Prayer is a great communication. Once we get this unrepented sin and confess sin, Lord, if I did something wrong, forgive me. If I sin today, forgive me. I want to lay it out. I'm a sinful by nature. I know I mess up daily. I give it to you. That should be part of our prayer. And then we continue saying, Lord, forgive me where I messed up. Help me to forgive others. If I have somebody that I've hurt today, let me go and confess that I hurt him. We got to get all that out of the way, because when we start doing that, we start getting a heart for Jesus, a heart for ministry, a heart to go out there to the lost, to the ones that are needing that hope. They're reaching out into this world in darkness, and all they're getting is this infection of darkness in their veins that is leading them to nowhere, not to the light. And we are supposed to be the light of the world. Amen. As you guys bow with me, we'll have a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come today, just thanking you for the sermon that you placed on my heart to preach, Lord. Pray, Lord, that whoever's out there that needs to hear it, Lord, that you just reach into their hearts. If they have things going on, somebody hurt them deeply, maybe in childhood. Like I had in mind, put them on the right path to forgive. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just be with us the rest of the week. That you guide and direct us to whoever needs to hear the message of the gospel. I pray if there's somebody here that's listening to this message that is not a child of God, I pray, Lord, let them reach out to you. To you, Jesus, not me. But I'm available if they need to. But Jesus, let them reach out to you through the words that I speak, that you give me to speak. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen.